Organize Me Radio, episode 23, is ADHD stopping your CEO dreams? I'm Naima Ford Goldson. Everyone, welcome to Organize Me Radio. I'm Naima Ford Goldson. Today's guest is a psychologist and an expert in all things ADHD. He's even written 4 books about it, including More Attention, Less Deficit. Please welcome Dr. Ari Tuckman.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
I am so excited for you to be here because a lot of people don't realize ADHD can affect them as adults. And you've written 4 books about it. Now, what made you decide to educate people on adult ADHD?
You know, when I started out in the late 90s as a psychologist, I was trying to find find my place in the world. I sort of stumbled upon ADHD in adults as this underserved population, that there are all these folks with ADHD and there just were not enough clinicians working with them. The good news is it's gotten better, you know, here in 2021. Like, there's definitely more attention giving to ADHD in adults, not just in kids, but it's still kind of underserved. Like, there are still not enough folks who really know to look for it, not enough clinicians who know how to treat it. And I don't know. I think it's a bit of a disservice, unfortunately. So we still have too much of what I call the 2-for-1 diagnosis, which is a kid gets diagnosed with ADHD because pediatricians and teachers and others know to look for ADHD in kids. And because there's such genetics to ADHD, often when a kid gets diagnosed, one of the parents says, huh, that sounds familiar. Or one of the parents says, hey, that sounds familiar. And then they point to the other one, right? So often adults are being diagnosed still through their kids being diagnosed. But I mean, that's like, as long as they get there, that's fine. But so that's my sort of, you know, stumbling upon it kind of way. And I don't know, like, it's a great group to work with. There's a lot of good work to be done. They're a fun bunch. So I'm happy to be here.
That's interesting because my husband swears up and down that he might have ADHD, and he's been reaching out to his doctors to ask about it. However, I don't think they want to give him a diagnosis, and I don't know if that's something that maybe some doctors feel like maybe later in life it's not important. Have you come across that?
That is definitely a thing that I've come across, and you know, I think that, so there are good reasons and bad reasons, right? The good reason is if you're an internist, you're a general practitioner who sees adults, you know, like, you can't be an expert in everything. And if you truly feel like, you know what, this is out of my area of expertise, I'm not qualified to make the diagnosis, that is totally fine. And I absolutely respect that. The bad reason of it is it's this thing of like, well, I don't know. I mean, you got through school. What do we need to do anymore? Which is kind of like, I don't know, like if you had diabetes, I don't think they'd say, well, I mean, you know, you're 40, you haven't died yet of diabetes. Like, why would we do anything about diabetes, you know? And it's this kind of, it's a lack of awareness of the many, many ways that ADHD impacts someone. And it is not just about getting homework done. And it's not just about paying attention in boring history class. And it definitely does not end when the school bell rings or when you graduate high school. So ADHD, most kids with ADHD become adults with ADHD. You know, it tends to persist into adulthood, at least to some degree. But, you know, the thing is, as an adult in the world, life is a whole lot more complicated. There's a lot more that you need to keep track of. There's much more of an expectation that you're going to be the one keeping track of it and not your mom and not your teachers. And by the way, you don't want your husband or wife to become your mom. That ain't fun. So, you know, if you're forgetful, disorganized, problem with time management, tend to run late, you know, that's going to have a big impact, not only at home in your relationships there, but also at work and everywhere else. So like, I think this is important stuff to keep an eye on.
So then how often does a diagnosis like ADHD or even undiagnosed ADHD, how often does it prohibit people from performance at work or being successful at work?
I mean, it obviously everything depends on the individual, right? It depends on how significant are your symptoms of ADHD? What are your other strengths and good abilities? What are the demands being placed on you? And, you know, I've certainly had clients or people I know in life who are very successful at what they do. But I also have a lot of people who really struggle more than they should. So, you know, maybe it's one of those things where someone, instead of doing the standard 8 or 9 hour workday, they're doing 9 or 10 or 12. Or it takes a lot more stress and angst to get things done in a way that, like, it really should have been easier. You know, or it becomes a thing that as family demands increase, like, you can't do 12 hours a day anymore because your partner is going to have something to say about it.
Right.
So, you know, now they're struggling a lot more, or certainly now in the age of pandemic and working from home and all the distractions that come with that, some folks are really struggling a whole lot more as a result of it. You know, they could kind of hold it together in the old days, and now it's all, you know, the demands exceed their abilities kind of thing.
And I will say, even in my family, just in general, my family and friends, you know, along with this pandemic, we have been seeing a lot of, you know, mental health issues arise. So for ADHD, how do you feel about prescription drugs? Do you think that's the best solution for it? Are there other ways to cope with ADHD?
Yeah. So, okay, this is a really good question. I'm a psychologist, which means I don't write prescriptions. So let's kind of start there. Having said that, when it comes to ADHD, for those who need it, I'm actually a very big proponent of medication. They're not magic. They don't make boring things fun. They don't give you superpowers. You still have to put in hard work. You still have to have good strategies and systems. So, like, all the basics still apply no matter who you are, right? All the stuff that applies to people without ADHD still applies to people with ADHD on medication or not. Having said that, what the medication does is, I sometimes say that ADHD is a disorder of actualizing good intentions, taking an idea from in your head to execution out in the real world. And what the medication then does is it kind of closes the gap between intentions and actions. So when someone says, I got that big report due on Friday, here we are on Tuesday, I should really start putting some things together, right? They're better able to actually make themselves do it rather than being distracted by other things, feeling kind of stuck in the mud in terms of getting going on it, or scrambling to catch up with other deadlines. So then it's like Thursday night that they're finally getting around to it and, you know, angry at themselves for, like, here we go again. So the medication that we have for ADHD, the stimulant medication specifically, this stuff's been around for decades. So Ritalin's been around since the 50s. Adderall's been around since the 80s. We have hundreds of research studies. They are the most effective medications in all of psychiatry. So the extent to which they do the thing that they're supposed to do, they do better than the antidepressants work on depression, better than the bipolar meds work on bipolar disorder. So they're very effective. Generally, they're, you know, very safe. They're well tolerated. They are not addictive. That is a falsehood. In fact, it is untreated ADHD that is a risk factor for substance abuse.
Oh, wow.
Kids with ADHD who are treated with stimulant medication are less likely to have substance abuse issues as adolescents. So, so when you put it all together and you look at what are the potential benefits of treating ADHD with medication versus what are the many, many, many known risks associated with untreated ADHD, as far as I'm concerned, for most people, if they need it, the benefits of taking stimulant medication for ADHD far exceed the risks of taking it.
Wow. I've never thought about it in terms of, you know, substance abuse and having, you know, untreated symptoms of ADHD and leading to substance abuse issues. I've just never thought about it in that way. Are there any, let's say, homeopathic type remedies to ADHD?
You know, sadly, when it comes to any of these sort of alternative treatments, just using that term most broadly, right? So if we're talking about things that chiropractors do, nutritional interventions, supplements, computer brain training programs, I don't know, any other like random whatever, like none of that stuff has been shown to be effective for ADHD. Like either at best, we don't yet have research that shows that whether or not it's effective. But in many cases, we have research that shows, no, this does not actually work. Or it's one of those things where you don't have to do the research to prove that it won't work, because the basic theory of how this could work completely runs counter to what we already know in basic science. So there's this, I don't know, I'll stay polite. There's this stuff out there about, like, you know, that chiropractors are sort of preaching about ADHD is this issue of brain balance. So you do these balance exercises and that's supposed to treat ADHD. Like, that is fundamentally flawed. Like, ADHD is not an issue of the two sides of the brain don't communicate. Like, that is just objectively not true. So there is no possibility that doing balance exercises could do anything at all for ADHD. Like, it is just, you know, we need to completely rewrite neurology in order for that intervention to possibly be effective. So there's a lot of kind of, often I'm going to say well-wishing but ill-informed stuff out there on how to treat ADHD that is just not, it's just not going to be helpful. And I think that part of it is that there's this big kind of push against stimulant medication. People don't like the idea of giving kids meds. I get it. Like, I don't like the idea of giving kids meds. What I also don't like is kids doing badly in school, kids feeling bad about themselves for doing badly at school, being turned off to school, having more arguments and fights with teachers and parents, and all the problems that come out of that. Like, I don't love that stuff either. And if, again, what's the risk of not treating? So, you know, so you need to kind of make a well-informed, really well thought out decision. But I think that begins with accurate information.
Thank you so much for clearing that up, because I feel like that has provided so much insight just for myself. So thank you for that. Now, for those people who are just completely against medicine, or maybe can't afford it, or maybe aren't good with taking medicine, what are some things they can do to cope a little bit better?
Sure. So again, whether you take medication or not, you still have to have good strategies and systems. For a lot of folks with ADHD, it's much easier to not be distracted if there are fewer distractions. This is an obvious thing to say, and yet it's a fairly common conversation I have with clients. So, you know, and some of it's the easy, obvious stuff of, like, if your cell phone is always pinging you with alerts that are, let's be honest, of marginal value, every time it bings or, you know, or peeps at you, you need to sort of use a little bit of attention, right? It pulls at your attention. It takes a little bit of willpower to push away and say, nope, not that. Don't pay attention to that. Do this other thing instead. So a lot of what we do with ADHD is about, you know, it's kind of working in the environment to have fewer distractions, fewer interruptions. The stuff you're supposed to be paying attention to, make that stand out a little bit more, you know, so just the basics, and there's a whole lot we can say on this, but just the basics of, like, having a good to-do list, having a good schedule system, sending reminders and alerts. So making the stuff that's important that you should be paying attention to stand out more, and making the distractions and the interruptions and the stuff that's much more fun but much less important, kind of quieting that stuff down.
Okay, so then the mind of an ADHD, a person who's diagnosed with ADHD, is that basically their mind kind of drifts and starts thinking about other things. Is that correct?
Correct. So, you know, so at any given moment, our brain is flooded with inputs from the world around us, as well as, you know, just thoughts we have inside our own head, right? So an example I'll give is, you know, what do your feet feel like? And until I asked you that, probably you had no idea, because let's be honest, it doesn't matter, right? You're sitting, it doesn't matter what's happening with your feet, unless like somebody bites you or something. So, you know, so what our brain does is it, in this massive flood of input, it kind of blocks most of it out, because like, not that important, not the thing I'm focusing on right now. And that is a good thing. The issue, and not that any of us are perfect, right? Because we all have our moments of distraction. We all have our moments of getting overly absorbed and losing track of time. But folks with ADHD are more often, they're paying attention to, they're pulled by the wrong thing, right? Like, this is the thing I should be doing. Oh, wait, what's that over there? And this could be a kid screwing around with their pencil instead of doing homework or listening to the teacher. It could be an adult who, instead of, oh, wait, I got to take the frozen chicken out of the fridge. Oh, but just a sec, I'm going to put a couple glasses into the dishwasher. Bing, 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 glasses go in. Oh, as long as I'm here, let me wipe down the counter. Well, as long as I'm here, you know what? I need to take the, who put this stuff here? I need to throw this stuff in the laundry. And then 6 hours later, we have frozen chicken and nothing for dinner, right? Mm-hmm. So part of what our attention system needs to do is figure out what do I push away and ignore? What do I let in and pay attention to? And folks with ADHD more often have trouble paying attention to the wrong things. So stuff that's interesting, stuff that's exciting, stuff that is a benefit right now, grabs their attention and holds it more so compared to people who don't have ADHD. People without ADHD have an easier time, and this is all relative, it's not black or white. People without ADHD have an easier time saying, ooh, that looks interesting, but that's not the thing I should be doing right now. I would like to be scrolling through Instagram and looking at, you know, cats or something, but instead, I will put this down and I'm gonna sort receipts for taxes, which is incredibly boring, but boy, will I be happy about it come April, right? Mm-hmm. Many months from now, boy, will I be happy about the fact that I sorted these taxes. So a lot of what we do as adults, but even as kids, is to be simple, suffering in the moment in order to make a better future, right? Doing your homework is not mostly about enjoying the moment. It's about making a better future, even if that future is simply not being called out by the teacher for not having your homework tomorrow, right? So the challenge for folks with ADHD is they have a harder time letting go of the thing that's fun in the moment, or that's compelling in the moment, or that's really, like, you know, intense in the moment, so that they can then work towards something that's better for the future.
So then, as a professional organizer, what can I do to help my clients stay organized that might have this diagnosis?
Right. And there is a lot that organizers can do to be helpful for folks with ADHD. I mean, some of it is just about kind of like dealing with the backlog, you know, because often folks with ADHD, I kind of say that they're like pseudo hoarders, right? So real hoarders hold on to a lot of things. I mean, this is simplistic, but because they don't want to let it go. Whereas most folks with ADHD hold on to stuff because they can't bear the process of going through it. So if magic elves came in the middle of the night and stole away all their junk, someone with ADHD would be thrilled, right? They'd say, thank God, I don't have to go through that, mm-hmm. right? So having an organizer there can be really helpful, even if it's simply external accountability or keeping them engaged and slogging through to get rid of the old stuff and to then find a way to kind of create an organizational system for what's left. But part of it also is folks with ADHD get kind of, they sometimes just get overwhelmed by it all. Like, I don't even know what to keep. Which is another great place for an organizer to be helpful. But once you've dealt with the past, to then think forward, you know, like, how do we set up a system? What do you actually use? How often do you use it? Let's really think about, does this need to be in your closet or does this get chucked up in the attic? You know, assuming it gets kept at all. So to really design functional, quick and easy to use systems, right? That's, I think, helpful for anybody. if we're talking about maintenance, but especially for our folks with ADHD. And perhaps more so than clients without ADHD, a bit more circling back. So every couple of weeks or once a month, you come back just to like polish the edges and get, you know, a few more things dealt with. Because, you know, again, it's that, you know, space between intentions and actions. Like they know they should put it all away, but they have trouble in a consistent way in that busy flow of life to actually circle around and get everything put back away.
Got it. So following up with them and creating systems is important. Now, what about those people who might not hire an organizer and they're just kind of struggling through it? How would they start? Where should they start?
So I think usually when I have a client with ADHD and they're having trouble getting organized, and actually anybody who has trouble getting organized, often my first advice is get rid of as much as you can. Right? Because if you have too much stuff, kind of, I don't know, I've got this other saying, like you can't organize 10 gallons of water into a 5 gallon bucket, right? So get rid of as much stuff as you can. Start with the physically largest things so that you're clearing some space to work with the rest. And I think from there, then you figure out what you got left. What do you actually need? What do you need really easily accessible versus not? And I will admit I'm a little bit of a minimalist. So like, you know, take my personal bias for what it is, but as get rid of as much as you can, you know, upfront and then along the way, because, you know, the danger is often people hold on to things. You're like, oh, but I might need this. This conceivably has some value. And to be completely honest, like a bent paperclip in the right circumstance actually has some value. Like there are indeed moments where a bent paperclip is just the thing that you need. The problem is when you hold on to too many things, then you can't find the things you need when you need them. And if you can't find it when you need it, it ain't worth having. So that is the price, right? And that's the part of the equation that's ignored is if I keep all these junky things that I, in some theoretical context, I might need, then you don't find the things that you actually are going to need. And that then is, so that is the price in keeping. You can't just think, is there value in keeping it? You also need to think about, yeah, but what's the price in keeping it?
So, okay. Yeah, that's good. This is good stuff. So then, are there any specific diets that could help with the diagnosis?
Unfortunately not. I mean, beyond it's sort of obvious we should all eat a healthy diet. So what you eat isn't going to make your ADHD better, but what you eat can definitely make it worse, right? If your blood sugar is all over the place, if you're eating a bunch of junky stuff, that's going to have negative health impacts. The more likely scenario actually is that ADHD causes problematic eating more so than problematic eating causes ADHD. So eating healthy requires planning, requires forethought, requires some impulse control. And whereas when we don't plan, when we're generally not managing our day well, we've run out of time, or you forget to eat, or you don't have time to eat. And then by the time you do eat, you're starving, and nobody eats a salad when they're starving. So, true. You know, yeah. So, you know, sometimes as much, you know, so stimulant medication has the potential side effect of suppressing appetite during the day. Although for most people, it's not really an issue in terms of weight loss. It just kind of takes care of itself. But there are absolutely people with ADHD who struggle with their weight because of this kind of problem with keeping their eating organized and manage living just a balanced life. You put them on medication, you help them with some systems, and all of a sudden they're eating a little bit better. They're exercising a little bit more. Maybe they get a bit more sleep. So all that basic health maintenance habit starts to fall into place a little bit more. And then they actually wind up losing weight, but in a good and healthy way.
I love it. Okay. That makes so much sense to me. So do we know any well-known people who are successful that have an ADHD diagnosis?
There are a bunch of people out there. I mean, certainly a lot of them are in the entertainment field, or, you know, athletes and whatever. The question though is, are they do they actually have, do we have more folks with ADHD in those fields, or are they just more open about it? Hmm. You know, so if you're the CEO of a company, or, you know, of some big company, are you going to be out and open about your ADHD? But, you know, like, for example, at the big ADHD conference in November, which was online this year, we had Sinbad the comedian talking about growing up with ADHD. And certainly when he was a kid, it was not a thing that was being diagnosed and treated. And, you know, so there's him, and there's a bunch of, I mean, there's all sorts of folks out there. But, you know, I have friends who are, and clients who are, you know, doctors and lawyers and, you know, really successful in lots of different things, like CEOs of companies, and, you know, doing lots of impressive things. So ADHD is, I mean, it's definitely not a death blow. You know, it's not a thing that if you have ADHD, you can't be happy in your life, because absolutely you can. But that, but it's a matter of knowing how to manage it well, knowing how to use the rest of your strengths to compensate for your weaknesses, as we all have to. You know, like, we all have things about ourselves we wish were different, things that trip us up and get us into trouble. So knowing yourself well, taking it seriously, finding ways to leverage your strengths, being smart about the situations that you put yourself into, you know, so you don't put yourself into a situation that really doesn't cater to your strengths. So, like, I've had clients who tend to be night owls and are bad at getting going in the morning, and maybe their ADHD makes it harder for them to get going in the morning. Having a job with a really early start time and a really rigid boss may not be the best fit, you know? So, like, maybe you need to find a job with a little more flexibility, or you talk to your boss and try to work something out where you're still gonna do a great 8 or 9 hour workday, but it may not start at 8 a.m., it may start at 9, or, you know, so, like, there are ways maybe to kind of work around some of this stuff.
Ari, thank you so much for educating me and our listeners on ADHD, because I feel like, even though I've read some books and I've taken some classes, I feel like this has really helped me and has given me some aha kind of moments, you know? So I appreciate it so much. Can you tell everyone where they can find out more information about you?
Sure. My pleasure. I'm always happy to talk about ADHD. I'm always happy to sort of spread the gospel. So best place to find me is adultadhdbook.com. I've got a bunch of information there on ADHD, including, you know, recordings of past presentations and webinars and podcast interviews and things like that, as well as chapters from my books and other handouts. So adultadhdbook.com is the best place.
All right. Thank you so much, Ari. And everyone, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Organize Me Radio. Check us out next time for an all new episode. Thank you so much for joining me today. And make sure you follow me on all social media platforms. And remember, get organized, go further. You're listening to Organize Me Radio. I'm Naima Ford Goldson.